The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, let's finish up strong. More special guests. AJ comes back on Monday. Let's have some fun. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN975 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No AJ today. He'll be back on Monday, but two very special guests. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, is here. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll say nice things about you. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. It's also at Josh Jordan 975, at Jerry Bo Knows. Do we have the Z back?
The Z is back.
With the Z. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to interact with us via the Twitch channel and you want to see these handsome fellows sitting here next to me, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the video. It's that simple. And it's a Friday. No nonsense today. We've had a terrific run of guest hosts. So no pressure. Don't screw it up. I'm going to finish strong. With my man Josh Jordan and Jerry Bo from the Moneyline team on Sundays. You can hear them. And so we'll probably talk a little gambling today.
Let's do it, man. We're ready. We're pumped. It's Friday. Let's do this thing.
All right. More energy. Need more energy than that.
Hello, Blitzers. We meet again. Last time they threw a few tomatoes, but we threw them back.
You threw tomatoes at people?
No, they threw them at us a little bit. You know, the Blitzers, they have to warm up to you. But I think once the show got going, they felt that I'm a lifelong Blitzer myself. So I felt like the way we bring our style, it fits just nice.
I always try to tell people, very different audience here than what you're used to, because they're very loyal. They have stuff they want to hear. They want to hear AJ sing Gym of the Day. They want to hear us make fun of Aaron. They want to hear some degenerate talk. And they're going to be stuck in traffic because Houston traffic sucks. We just try to entertain them. That's it. So very simple. And on a Friday, everybody's trying to get out early. And, you know, it's kind of our job to do our best for the people. So two of my favorite guys here filling in today, because if you are not familiar with Moneyline, they're on every Sunday. They talk a little gambling. Jerry's pretty good at gambling, at soccer especially. Josh's a big fantasy football guy. So they kind of combine the two, because I don't care what anyone says. Fantasy football is gambling. And you can hear them every Sunday. But what I like best about them is, well, number one, I've talked about the success of Sports Map over the past few months. And I'm more than happy to take credit because, you know, that's what I do. But Josh has had as much, if not more, to do with the success of it as well. So besides being able to come on air and besides doing his Sunday show, dude does a pretty good job with Sports Map. Whenever you guys clicked on that Zach Greinke story the other day, that was Josh. Well, Chris wrote it, but Josh got that thing up so fast that we beat every other outlet for the most part.
No doubt about it. And that was planned. We had everything lined up. We had a few different options because we didn't know until the last minute who they were going to trade for. So we even had some videos lined up that we didn't get to release because they didn't trade for the guy we talked about in the video. But that's what we like to do at SportsMap. We're prepared. It came out really good. We got a lot of clicks on that piece of content as well.
And we're already off to another monster start for the first 2 days of the month. So there was a time when the only thing people clicked on was Jerry Bo's picks.
That's true. And we've come a long way. No, but honestly, thanks to all the people that click on Sports Map. Me, myself, right when I started working here was around the time that Sports Map started. And I've seen it grown. But honestly, I'm pretty close to both these guys. And I see how much work it takes for them to actually get all that content out. So appreciate the clicks, but I appreciate the hard work with these guys, too.
Well, the funny thing is, this is supposed to be our slow time. Yeah. We're supposed to be catching a little breather here, but now the Texans are in camp and football's coming. We got a lot of great stuff planned for football season, so hopefully everybody's going to enjoy that. But as long as the Astros keep being interesting, then we'll keep throwing content out there. And it really is, Josh and Brandon and myself have put a lot of work into this, but guys like Joe Blank,
yeah,
and Jerry, you know, Jerry kind of helped us build an audience early on when we were looking for something that would be a bit different. If you haven't, I mean, like, I'll sometimes just blind play his soccer plays.
Me too.
If I get on there and I see him on SportsMap, and I'll go into my MyBookie account, it's like, hey, I got some money here to spend. Let's go bet on young boys.
So, I know. I'm like, oh, Uruguay, under 18. You can't even find this stuff. Sometimes Jerry sends me, and I'm like, what is this?
I get that so much. My inbox is mostly that. Where is this? Like, who is that? Is there a team called Young Boys for real, or are you just playing around? There's another one, Always Strong. They're like, okay, well, who's Always Strong? I'm like, no, that's the team.
Some of these guys, I'll go on my bookie, and I'm like, what? What the hell? I've never heard of these guys. And then I'll find them on there. I'm like, okay, I'll bet it. What the hell? And it usually works out. So, but yeah, we're gonna talk a little gambling today. We'll have RJ at 6 o'clock as usual. And we'll see who he picks on today. It'll probably be me since AJ's not here. He'll have to have somebody to beat his chest about. And we got a lot of other good stuff to get to. So if you want to get in, you know the number. If you've got questions for these guys, we'll mix in a little poker talk too, because, Jerry just had a nice run in a tournament. And always like getting those kind of things on the show. Mr. Grass, how and where on my bookie can I bet an Astros and Rockets championship parlay? You got to go to the futures on there for each sport. I don't know if the NBA is up right now. It's not up everywhere. Do know the baseball is, and the last I looked, your Astros were +200.
That's tough.
That's a little low for me, and I'm kind of kicking myself because we had a pretty good feeling they were going to make a deal, and the Astros were 4.5 to 1, and I should have punched the ticket then because that's a little more value. But 2 to 1, I don't know if I can swallow that.
Me too. I'm in the same boat as you. I knew something was coming, and then now that it happened, it's you tell yourself, why didn't I do it? But 2 to 1, you always have to think of it. It's, they give you best case scenario when you're betting futures. You're betting in the best case scenario, this is what's going to happen, and that's what you're paying for, a premium. It's almost like you, for you being lazy and not wanting to do a mechanical parlay, for example. And I look at it, what would they be underdogs against the Yankees, and what would they be underdogs how much would they be favored against the Yankees, and how much would they be favored against the Dodgers? And if you combine those two, I think you could get somewhere around that 2 to 1.
Yeah, and I also the other problem though with this is that you're betting essentially that the next 2 months everything goes the way it's supposed to go for the team, that Tebow forbid Verlander's elbow doesn't explode, or Correa gets hit by his girlfriend again, and all of these things could happen. And that number loses its value. And suddenly you're sitting on 2 to 1 when it's not so fast there. And you're also assuming they're better than the Dodgers, because it's not just getting out of the American League, which I don't think is going to be a cakewalk. And even in a 5-game series, you might have the 4 best pitchers between both teams in a 5-game series. But a couple of guys get hot and suddenly, we've seen this before with teams with great pitching and super teams that don't get out of their league because they just happen to play poorly at the wrong time. And we've seen the Astros have stretches this year where they could get beat.
Yeah, I mean, that happened with the Braves when they had that great staff with Smoltz and Glavine and Maddox, and they only got one out of all those great teams. So just having a great pitching staff doesn't mean you're going to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. 2 to 1's extremely short for futures. Like I said, wait and do some mechanical parlays, because that's a perfect scenario. 2 to 1's the right price.
Yeah, explain that to them. We've talked about it before on the show, but we always have a lot of new listeners that don't know what a mechanical parlay is. Explain to them what you mean by that.
So as of right now, let's say they're 2 to 1 if you bet them on the futures market. But say they played the Yankees, how much would they be favored? Would they be favored, let's say, -200? So now at that point, you would have to throw 200 to win $100. So instead of putting whatever amount you're going to put in right now into that future, put that amount into the first series or whoever it's against and roll that over and keep rolling it over until then they would win the World Series. And that way you'll get a better payout and not have your money locked up as well. And also in baseball, what happens if and this is if you bet it, you can bet it pre-series, but what happens if they go out there and lose game one? the odds change drastically and you'll get such a better number. So it's about picking your spot. And the futures market, you got to be so careful. Don't really bet favorites when it comes to futures markets. That's when you look more for the underdogs, and that's what we call value.
Yeah, and as I look at some of these other teams, just because they didn't do anything doesn't mean they're not good baseball teams. So I do think there might be some value elsewhere. There might be, frankly, some value in the Indians, because I think a lot of people just, oh, well, they traded Bauer. They don't have a show. Well, they actually got back a couple of pretty good players, and they're right there. And again, short series, they've got a couple of guys who are good enough pitchers that, and what we saw it the other night, the Astros got two runs off of them. Now, obviously, the Astros aren't going to have any Urquidy's out there during the playoffs, so that game doesn't matter. But that first game could have gone the other way, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, when you're looking to play, you got to focus on stuff like that. It's like, what is my best value and my best result? And the parlay bit I love, because if they get down a game in a 5-game series and my number goes up, then I'll bet it. And if I get by two rounds and I've already made more than I would have made for them to win the World Series, I don't have to bet the World Series. I'll just pocket that money and say, hey, thank you.
We actually did a SportsMap video about home field advantage or home ice, and baseball and hockey are both sports that you could take advantage. And you even spoke about wait for a team to, maybe if they lose one, but you know the goalie was on point, then to take advantage of a solid number.
Yeah, and we need to do some more of those videos. Those were fun. I think as soon as my hair grows out a little bit more, I think we'll do another one. And it's growing fast. In fact, I even had somebody last night tell me how much younger I looked because I had the process done a week ago with Dr. Linville, and it's a very cool thing what he's doing. And he wants to help guys out like me, like a lot of you, who maybe your hair is starting to disappear and you don't really want to give up on it. And I had a choice. It was either, okay, you know what, I'm just going to shave this stuff, go full on bald, or maybe get something done. And at my age, I waited an awful long time, but this technology didn't exist in the past. So if you're 30 years old and you're just starting to lose your hair, you can get this done, and it's your own hair. Basically, what he's doing, he's taking hair from the back of your head and just putting it where it's thinning on the rest of your head. So it's your hair. It's totally natural. It's not a hair plug. It's nothing like that. He's going to extract the individual follicles and put them where you don't have hair. And that's what he did for me. He took a bunch off the back, put it right here in the front. And it's starting to grow out, and I'm starting to see the difference. And my hairline is going to be about 3 inches lower than what it was, which is pretty cool. And to be honest with you, when I first talked to him about it, I'm like, do I really need hair? Does it really matter? And now that I've got it done, oh, yeah, it does. It's always better to have it. And he's had it done himself, so he understands. And so he really wants to do this for guys who are in that position where, hey, man, I'd like to have hair. And this is technology that it's out there. Why not take advantage of it? Great guy to go see. And he's an artist too, man. I got to say, the way he figures out where your hairline's going to be, the way he goes through and decides which follicles to move where, I mean, he thinks his whole process through so that you're going to have the best possible results. And how about this? Great deal for you right now. If you're on the fence about this, just go set up your appointment. After you talk to him, you're going to be sold. Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com, and set up your consultation with Dr. Linville. It's life-changing, man. You're going to love it. 975hair.com. Get your hair back. Do it now. There's something in your way, and now somebody's going to pay. And if you can't get what you
want, well, it's all because of me. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. He'll be back on Monday. I think he returns to God's country tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, from the wilds of Oregon. But it'll be good to have him back. But it's been a fun run here of fill-ins, a lot of different types of people. Aaron, how do you feel about the, well, because you weren't here for two of them, so.
Yeah, I had to miss two of them, unfortunately, but I went back and listened to the podcast, and I'm sad I missed.
Yeah.
I always have fun when Jerome's in studio, though, just because he and I have worked together for years to begin with, too. But all our, I think all of our fill-ins knocked it out of the park. Not to put even more stress on Josh and Jerry's shoulders, but...
Yeah, well, I want them to feel a little pressure. I want them to feel like they need to raise their game a little bit. That's okay.
It's like that roller coaster. It just keeps going up, and we haven't had anybody take it downhill yet, so...
Okay, so just kind of a word of warning. Don't you do it either.
The pressure's on.
I mean, this is a team thing here, so... Man, there's a story I wanted to get to, and I had it on the list for yesterday, and then I just sort of decided to save it because Patrick and I got into some other stuff, and it was a little more sportsy yesterday, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. Don't mind mixing it up a little. He did a very good job. But there's a story about Daniel Negreanu and a golf bet that, I mean, I just find fascinating because one of the things that we always talk about and why I... You know, if you're like a 40-year-old who's never gambled, don't start, because it can go south in a hurry. And some of these guys, no matter how good they are, they got the disease bad. And I think this is a perfect example of what can happen. Now, we'll goof off sometimes and do side bets with each other, but it's like a dollar. It's more just for, you know, to be or for dinner or something like that.
Or a beer.
Or, yeah. I mean, it's never... I've never gotten into the, let's bet on which cockroach will get here first and that kind of stuff. Well, I've done that, but it's like for a buck. Like sometimes I'll go to the crab races at Little Woodrow's, and if I'm there with some friends, we'll bet on the crabs. But I mean, it's a dollar. It's just to make fun of each other, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I used to do that when we'd get home from the bar late night. If I knew my friend didn't watch the highlights because we were together all night, we'd say, all right. And it was just so much action, just highlight after highlight.
Yeah, I guess the one exception is sometimes when they do like the ostrich and camel races at Sam Houston, like we'll all put in like $50 and then everybody gets a camel or an ostrich and then whoever wins gets the whole thing. So do stuff like that. But I kind of feel a lot of penis envy right now because of Daniel Negreanu and what he did in this golf bet. And apparently he was his golf game, he says he wasn't very good. And they were playing this 7,000-yard course. And he can't hit the ball very far. So he bet several of his friends that he could shoot 80 from the back tees if they gave him a year. The wager was $550,000. But he could practice as much as he wanted. So he had about a month left, and he's still shooting 110, 108. And... So he has a month. He gets up at 7 every day, practice for an hour, play 18, practice for another hour, play 18, play 9 more, practice again. So he basically go from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day leading up to this bet.
That's a long day.
Yeah, that's a lot of practice. So within a week, he says he was shooting low 90s and then mid to high 80s. And with about a week and a half to spare, he says he was 2 under after 9. So everybody started coming out to watch.
Like he needs that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he basically gets to the last three holes needing to go bogey, bogey, bogey to win the bet. But they're three hard holes. So the first thing he does, of course, double bogey. So he makes a par on 17. And then he gets to where he has a six-footer for all the money. And said he hit the putt, but as he hit it, my knees sort of fell to the ground. But somehow the ball went in and I made it. So this guy basically played for a year to try to shoot 80. He does it. And apparently before that, he had lost $1.2 million in one round to Phil Ivey. And it's amazing to me the disease that these guys have that are good. And one thing about Daniel, he's been really honest about, you know, you look at tournament winnings and people don't take into account the buy-ins. They don't take into account your expenses. And so there's a lot of times like, he won $2.5 million last year. He actually had a year where he won $2.5 in tournament earnings and lost money. And a lot of people don't realize, like, you play a bunch of high rollers, man. You play those 100 granders and don't cash. That adds up. And, you know, but to have that, I mean, to be great at it, I really think you have to have a little bit of the disease, but not too much of it.
99.9999, I say gamblers don't just stick to one thing. And a lot of them you'll find are really good at something, and then they blow a lot of money on something they're not that great at, but they just have that sickness. It happens to all of us.
I've told this story on the air before. I have a friend in Los Angeles, and which I'm really excited about going to the fight because I get to see him again. One of the best poker players I've ever been around. Best cash game players ever. He had like a two-year stretch where he had 1 month where he lost money. And he's playing high-stakes games. At the time, he was playing Hollywood Park, and of course, that's gone now, so he plays Commerce now. But he just would kill it at poker. And then the next day, we'd be sitting at the racetrack, and I'm sitting there, and he's going through every college basketball game on the schedule and betting $2,000 a game. And he would lose every dime he'd made the night before. Whatever he didn't lose on basketball, he'd lose at the racetrack. Then he'd go back to the casino that night, make another $20,000 or $30,000. It was just the most insane thing I'd ever seen. I just kept telling him, dude, why do you keep playing this stuff? It was because it's fun. Poker's a living. This is fun. It's like, okay, you know. But hey, more proper. He never got himself into... to really, well, one time he did. He had to sell his house, but then he won enough to get it back. So it's just so weird that these guys that are so good at it. And I admit, I have the same problem because I try to focus specifically on poker, horses, and sports. And that's it. You know, I don't mess with anything else. And there'll be times where that's really helpful. Like this last trip we had to Vegas, didn't do great at poker, didn't do very well in my sports betting. In fact, was wrong on two fights. And crush the horses. So it paid for the whole trip. Every now and then you just hit on all three and it's just one of those stretches. But yeah, I there are times I feel like maybe I should just focus on one thing. Maybe I should drop sports and horses and just play poker. But it's hard when you have fun doing something.
For sure. And I'll go ahead and blow up my spot. Like Brad said the other day, he was on here when Booker and him, Brad Gilmore, hosted with you. And he said, yeah, Jerry lost a big bet one time and I almost cried. He said whenever I told him the story, he got real silent. So and not that I'm on politics. Before we even get on that side, I don't care about either side of who wins. It was just a bet, right? So last election, right before that, I had hit an $80 11-way parlay for $18,000 online. So I have that $18,000 on there. 2 weeks later, Conor McGregor is fighting Alvarez in New York. So my plan was to put that on there. But then I get a call from a friend, and he's just like, man, you need to put all that money on that election. There's no way that Hillary's going to lose.
Boy, I wish you'd talked to me before that.
I wish somebody would have spoke some sense to me. So even worse, my wife's first time going to Vegas, so I book the best hotel. I got a car, a sports car I rented down there. Everything's paid, and he convinced me to put 15 of it on there. So and remember, she was huge. So I was only going to profit 5,000. She was it was a little less than 5,000. She was minus 320 at the point that I bet her. So we placed that bet, and you know how that went. But just imagine, I go and grab a nice bottle, and I start drinking it, just thinking it's money in the bank. We got a free trip to Vegas, baby. And once we saw that, the first thing I remember, they said, and Trump takes a swing state, and I'm like, swing state, what is going on here? And that was the wrap.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing about that was, about a week before the election, I'm having a conversation with a really smart guy who's saying, I think a lot more people are going to vote for Trump than anybody is prognosticating, because most of these guys are too embarrassed to get on Facebook and talk about it. They're embarrassed to vote for him, but they're going to vote for him. And yeah, I just started talking to people, and I kept getting that sense that there were people who were going to vote for the guy, but they were too embarrassed to come out and be Trump supporters. And so the day before, when he was four and a half to one,
yeah,
I put a few bucks on him. And so I was on the other end of that one. And it turned out that was almost exactly the case. And then, of course, everybody comes out of the woodwork talking about it afterwards. Oh, my God, I won. Yay. Yeah, because that's one of the things about social media, is that there's certain things that people will get into, and there's certain things they won't. And now, you know, now that he's elected, they're all more than happy to say they voted for him. But before the election, nobody wanted to come out and say, oh, I'm a big Trump supporter. Yeah, there were a few, of course. But and I think that's one of the things that when they are doing exit polls and stuff like that, suddenly you realize, uh-oh. So And let's be honest, Hillary was so unlikable. I couldn't have put money on her.
I didn't. And again, for all the listeners, I wasn't on either side as far as who I wanted. I just, for some reason, got convinced that it was easy. But imagine getting a nice bottle, though. By the time that election, that night was done, she comes out and they come out and say that she's not going to talk tonight. And I'm just sitting there drunk like, no, we need an explanation. Something you have to tell me right now.
See, that's the problem. We all treat it like sports, right?
Bill O'Brien, how could you not call a timeout?
Yeah. That's not my job. Like, no, someone tell me what is going on here.
Yeah. How did you choke this? How did this happen? All right, guys. Hey, you're looking for a place to... Josh's a fantasy football guy. You're going to have some fantasy football drafts. You want to go to a place where you can watch games while you're doing it. You can have some great food, some great beer. How about Big City Wings? And guess what? Big City Wings... they're going to be here at the Listener Appreciation Party. That's how much we appreciate you. We brought you Big City Wings. And go check out any one of their great eight great locations. Wall-to-wall TVs. You won't miss any action. And they've got most of them have a patio, so when the weather cools off, you could sit out there. They're big on wings, specials, and sports. Man, specials every day. Like, even today. Even on a Friday, they have a special. That's how they do it. And what I love best about it, the food's fantastic. If you haven't tried their wings... they're great. They've still got that special menu going on. And, man, I am not a sour cream and onion anything guy. Those sour cream and onion wings are the truth. Today, how about this? Half-price appetizers and margarita madness. So if you're driving around, just leaving work, thinking, oh, man, I think I want a margarita. I think I want to pay half price for my appetizers. To go stop by one of their eight great locations. And I'm telling you, man, these guys do things right. The atmosphere is fantastic. You want to take the kids, you can do that. And here's another thing, too. For a wing place, try the burgers. The burgers are amazing. So are all the appetizers. You can go to BigCityWings.com to find one near you. You can also follow them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Big City Wings, BigCityWings.com. It's time to stop. You need a taste of your own medicine.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Josh Jordan, Jerry Bowe. And Josh, I know you're a big fantasy guy. I don't really want to get into that yet, but when are you going to start doing your fantasy content for SportsMap? We're getting close. Some people are actually doing... I never understand the people who draft during preseason, but people do it.
They do, and if you're a sharp player, you can get some value by drafting early because you know you fire on stuff before everybody has time to cram right before a draft, so you're way ahead of everybody, so you can get a lot of value that way. But if a guy gets hurt, you're in trouble, and he's on your team. But I think next week we're going to start Mock My Mock. I did it last year. It's basically where I do a mock draft from the top. You know, the one pick, and then I do one from about the sixth pick, and then I'll do one from, you know, the turn around pick 12. So each week I'll do a draft from one of those spots, and then I'll write it up and kind of talk about who was available when I picked in each round and kind of my strategy for, you know, which round is good to pick certain positions. So I'm going to start that next week. I'll probably just do one right from, you know, pick one and grab one of these nice running backs, either Kamara or McCaffrey, and then see how that draft turns out.
I saw somebody put this out on Twitter earlier, and, you know, we judge things based on page views and things like that, but I don't remember who it was, so I'm not, I would love to give him credit, but it's just somebody I follow on Twitter, said, do you sense that there's not the excitement over the Texans this year that you would expect going into the season? And my first thought is, yeah, I kind of feel that way, but then... the content we post does great. Cody's stuff does great. You know, I wrote a little column earlier this week that did great. So, I think people are reading about it. But do you sense that there's not as much excitement about the Texans this year?
I don't know about that because football is always king. But being in this city right now and all the amount of superstars that are here now, they're going to be playing third fiddle. I would say second, but third on the list now on the pecking order. And that's hard to say with NFL always being king, right?
It is, but it's not surprising. I noticed it last year, a lot of it leading up to the draft, right? Because they didn't have a first or second round pick. So people weren't that excited. And I think it's the Bill O'Brien factor, too. People are just kind of tired of him. And we'll see. But it's, you know, the Astros, man, they're so likable and they're so good. You know, you talk about Sports Map, man, the Astros do really well for us, too. That's what's really helped us a lot. People love them. And with the Texans, you're just kind of, they've never been close to a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, they've never been in an AFC championship game. At least with the Rockets, you feel like they have a chance every year. And, you know, with the Astros, they certainly do. They're even the favorites. With the Texans, I don't even know if they're going to have a winning record this year.
I think, well, when you contrast them with the other teams, hey, the Rockets are swinging for the fences. Whether it works or not, you know they're going to try to do something every year. And whether it was Chris Paul and now it's Russell Westbrook, whether it was Dwight Howard, they're always out there trying to do something different and trying to win. And the Astros have just gotten to a point where the organization is so well run. You know, it started with the Verlander trade, but then you go out and get Garrett Cole the next year, and now you go out and get Zach Greinke. So they make these big splashes. They're trying to win. And then you look at the Texans. Not only are they not out pursuing the names, they're not doing anything to excite the fan base. Even in the draft, you got snaked out of the tackle that everybody wanted you to get. And, you know, Trent Williams is sitting out there. Think the Astros would go after Trent Williams if that was something that was available to them? Yeah, but they don't do it. They didn't. You know, they don't make the big splashes. And there's something to be said for that. But I would contrast them with the Rams last year. The Rams went all in. They went out and got Ndamukong Suh. They went out and got Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and all these guys and got to a Super Bowl. And I realize that there's a price to pay for that with your salary cap, but you're sitting there with $40 million that you haven't spent. And even now, I think there's an opportunity. Yeah, go get Trent Williams. So what if Matt Khalil looks good right now? He'll look good on the right side if that's the case. Just do something to excite the fan base. And because otherwise, we're all looking at the same thing. Well, gosh, I sure hope Will Fuller stays healthy for the first time in his life. Oh, gosh, I hope QT's out there the whole time because then the offense will be really good. But I feel like they shuffled their offensive line. They shuffled their secondary. Did they make them better?
No. What have they done right this offseason is the real question. With, you know, the draft, you don't get the guy you want. You end up taking Titus Howard, who, by the way, he's supposed to be a great left tackle. Well, he's playing guard right now. So it looks like Sharping's probably going to be a guard, too. So they screw up the draft. Then you have the Clowney thing, which they still haven't locked him up. How fans aren't excited about that. Then you have the, you know, going after Nick Caserio, you bungle that. How funny is that, right? Easterby meets with him that night. The next day, you fire Brian Gain and announce you're going after Caserio. How easy would it be for the Patriots to prove that's tampering when you literally fire your GM the next day after they allegedly spoke? So they screw that up. Cornerback, I mean, they didn't go get really anybody you feel good about. So I think the secondary's going to really struggle. We'll see what happens with Lonnie Johnson. But he's a rookie. Even if he's good, it'll probably take him half the season to show it. So I'm not excited about him this year. I love Watson. I love Hopkins and all those guys. But I think they're going to lose a lot of shootouts this year.
Does being, let's call it the ugly one out of the three friends, have anything to do with it? Not so much, don't get me wrong, because we want to see some moves, right? You want to see that $40 million get spent. But, you know, whenever you have two pretty girls and one ugly one, she sticks out a lot more to as when she's by herself. She's not that ugly. She's kind of cute now. In other words, Fred, you've been working in sports media in this city for a long time. What was it like, let's say, when the Rockets back in the 90s were winning? Was there still a lot of buzz around the, let's say, Oilers? How was the Astros, or you know what I mean, for example? Or does it generate to teams that are winning, or how does that work?
Well, I think part of it is the makeup of the city is there's so many people from other places that it's always going to be a front-runner city, right? It doesn't matter which team. And we get into the same people try to say, well, maybe it's not a football city. It's a football city, but it's not necessarily a Texan city. It's a Texan city. It's also a Cowboy city. It's also, to a lesser extent, a Saint city. There's a lot of people from the Midwest who brought those teams with them. You see it anytime you go to a Texans game. Anytime the Bears or any NFC North team visits here, then the place is packed with Pittsburgh when they're here. Same thing. And that's okay. But I think that also leads to people kind of gravitating towards whichever team is doing the best at the time. I don't think, like, even when the Rockets won the titles, and I don't think they were ever going to really eclipse the Oilers, even though the Oilers at that point had one foot out the door and were about to be gone. And the Astros, however, I think can. And they don't do everything right. And that's the thing that people, you know, you look at the stuff they've done now, and you're like, wow, they're in such a great position. They did a lot of really good things yesterday. But they've made some mistakes. But the one thing I'll give them credit for is somehow those mistakes have turned into positives. Like taking Mark Appel number one, if they hadn't won a World Series and they hadn't had all these guys work out, I mean, number one overall pick, that's a bust. But they flipped him for Ken Giles along with some other stuff. Well, that turned out to be a bust. Then they flipped Ken Giles for Osuna. So now you've got a closer for what essentially was a bust. So they turned it into a positive. They did the same thing with the whole Brady Aiken deal. When they don't sign him, another bad draft pick turned into Alex Bregman the next year. So they've had some luck, but they also make a lot of good decisions. But they made some bad ones, but they recover from them. And that's something the Texans just seem to make. And the frustrating thing for me, like, I think the Texans have the most likable players in the city, more so than even the Astros. I think J.J. and Deshaun and DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, Clowney maybe not so much, but those guys are easy to root for. And for me, it just goes back to Bill O'Brien. I mean, this guy is not easy to root for. And you wonder at some point when they're going to say, hey, why are we giving this guy so much power? And I don't know that you could do better by getting rid of him, but I don't know that you couldn't.
The willingness of the Astros and the Rockets, though, to go out there and do something, I think that's what hurts the Texans so much, because you ask yourself, why not? And whenever Marcus Stroman came off the board and you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to sit tight. Now that you're hearing some of the details and you're hearing that the Astros made the offer, or they had that offer on the table 24 hours before it, and they knew that they weren't going to move off. They wanted those four prospects, but that was dodging a big bullet. They didn't have to get rid of Tucker. They didn't have to get rid of any of the prospects. So the ones they didn't want to get rid of. So at that point, they pulled the trigger, and that's something that you keep hoping. Come on, Texans, pull the trigger on Andre Dillard. Now you're seeing that everyone's saying he's going to be a day one starter, and they're giving him praise. And that was the guy. That was the franchise guy, and that's what hurt so much.
Yeah, and, you know, okay, so why not be in on Trent Williams?
Who would they even call if they wanted to do a deal? The Redskins. They wouldn't even know who to pick up the phone and call if there was a trade.
Daniel Jeremiah was talking about that.
Right? Nobody even knows who's in charge.
Oh, no, that's not what Cal McNair said. Cal McNair says we have lots of people they can call. Lots of people.
Cal says lots of things.
Oh, gosh. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. No AJ today. So apparently the Astros had their press conference for their new players here this afternoon. And one thing about Zach Greinke, he just does not like having to deal with the spotlight, which is one reason why he didn't want to go to New York. Couldn't have been easy for him to sit up there in a press conference and have to deal with that. It's understandable. Some guys, you'd think just because, well, hey, he's a famous pitcher, he's an athlete, he should be used to this stuff. Some people never get comfortable with it.
No, that's true. And he had, you know, those issues with anxiety in his past. I think that's all behind him now. So I'm not surprised. It's not for everybody, but man, as long as he comes here and pitches like we know he's capable of.
I don't care if he never says a word.
Yeah.
You can just go out there and pitch, man. And now, apparently, Joe Biagini's the exact opposite. He says he was promised therapy puppies. He hasn't gotten them yet. And he was cracked. He apparently stole the press conference with, you know, and my friends in Toronto said he's been like that. He's hilarious. So there's at least added one fun one to the roster. But I don't care what your personality is. If you go out and win games, you can be as weird as you want. You can do the Reddick shave your mustache during the game thing, which, you know, I get it. Baseball players are weird by nature. I do not understand that. Like, oh, let's shave in the middle of a game. The hell is that about?
I feel like we've seen it a lot more this season, because I mean Bregman did it what 2 years ago for the first time, and a couple people did it last year, but in the last 3 months, six or seven guys have all done it in the middle of a game.
Why?
Are you a superstitious person, Fred?
No. I may need a therapy puppy now though, after hearing all this stuff. But no, I'm not superstitious at all. I say that. I will do the same routine. If I play a poker tournament, I do the exact same routine every day. And like when I was in Vegas, like I went for a run, went and had breakfast, and then played roulette for 20 minutes before I went over to the casino. Not for much money, just like $5 on black and stuff like that. But just to have something to do before I went over and started playing.
It just feels right to get in that rotation.
So I did that all. So I guess in a way, that's being superstitious. Like I used the same card protector and did everything exactly the same. So maybe. But I didn't shave, you know, like I didn't go off on dinner break and shave.
Not weird, superstitious.
Yeah, because that is weird.
So if your cards turn, you start off clean shaven at the beginning, you play 12 hours and your 5 o'clock shadow starts coming in, and all of a sudden your cards start taking a turn. You're not going to go and shave that as soon as you can?
It would never occur to me that the reason I was sucking is because my 5 o'clock shadow had grown in. Which is possible after a 13-hour day, no question. But no, that would not be something that I would ever think of.
See, I do get like that. Like when the Astros won the World Series and Morton was on the mound, I didn't want to move from the couch because everything was going right. So I get like that if like playing fantasy football, if I'm gambling and one of the remotes gets kind of moved and it was going well before that, I'll put the remote back where it was. I'll also throw a remote into a wall. I get in trouble for that a little bit too. Something about me and remotes.
Now, being at the casino, superstitious, you're doing well. Say you're sitting on a slot machine, you got a couple of drinks down and you're doing well, and then all of a sudden that one buddy loses his money and he comes and puts his hand on your shoulder. It's like a brick. Boom. And he's just like, man, I'm broke. You got 20 bucks. And after that 20 bucks you lend him just to get him away from you, then he keeps coming back and back. And before you know it, you lose all your money. And it just seems like that always goes down. Like, please don't even. I try to hide at the casino when we go with the group. Like, where is he not going to find me? Because I know he's over there at that crap table. And in about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, there he is.
See, I mean, I have never worried about stuff like that. And there's guys that I've gambled with that are basically Eddie the Moosh from Bronx Tale. We got mooshed. But it's just something we make fun of. I don't ever worry about things like that. Especially watching a team. Like, oh, I'm not going to wash his shirt because the Astros haven't lost since I put it on. You realize that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game.
Nothing.
Yeah, you do realize when you're sitting there and not moving and peeing on yourself because you don't want to move, it has nothing to do with the outcome of the game.
But it has everything to do with your girlfriend not liking you.
That's true. I don't know. It's and you know that logically, but I don't know. And when something's going your way, like, you know, don't mess around. Don't change anything.
John says, speaking of superstitious people, nothing pisses me off more than when the kicker is lining up a field goal attempt and the idiot announcer says how he hasn't missed all season or something. It also works for free throw attempts.
It does. I mean, seriously, you notice it.
Oh, you know why you notice it? Because they'll wind up missing. You didn't notice it the other 27 times they said it and the guy made the kick.
That's true.
That's what it is. So now you think, oh, he jinxed him. Well, no, he said the same thing the last 15 times guy went up there to make the kick. Oh, he's made 30 in a row. He's made 31 in a row. He's made 32 in a row. You don't think about it. Then when he misses, oh, you jinxed him.
That's exactly what happens, because I've been one of those, like, he jinxed him, but then he said it 20 times before that, and it doesn't happen. But in your head, superstition is real.
It's only real if you make it real. That's the thing. It's only something that, because you're letting it affect your thought process. To me, it has nothing to do with what cards are going to come out, how I'm going to play them, or whether or not my favorite team is going to throw a touchdown pass. You know, I mean, what if you're like watching the game in your underwear and your team wins every week? Are you going to go to the game in your underwear by yourself, just your underwear, so they'll lose or so they won't lose?
You'd be surprised. There's that guy out there saying, "I'm still in my underwear now."
Yeah, that's a lot of our listeners.
Everybody just wants something to blame when things don't go their way.
I think that's it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, damn, I changed shirts.
And especially when money's involved and it gets down to the end of a basketball game and now everyone becomes coaches and they're like, "Foul, no shoot." You know, everything is under a microscope at that point once your money is involved.
Well, yeah, I mean, believe me, I see it a lot, especially in gambling. Texter says, if someone throws a dice off the table and craps, I'll lose and walk away.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There are people who will, you know, if somebody who doesn't know what they're doing at the blackjack table shows up, will think that's going to be bad luck and they'll just leave. I get it, but, well, that one I understand a little more, because if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, it affects your cards, and that one I kind of get. But in general, that's not affecting anything. But I always say, whatever it is that you think makes you successful, just roll with it.
How about not talking about a no-hitter?
I don't care about that.
People get, and I broke that sacred rule, and, you know, I didn't really know, and I was just like, hey, he hasn't allowed a hit, has he? And it was just the worst looks ever. Everyone and my friend kind of pulled me aside, like, hey, man, let's take a long walk right now. It's going to be all right. And I learned real quick.
At baseball, too, especially, man. Very superstitious.
And even worse, it happened the very next inning. They got a hit, and everyone's looking at me like, why'd you even come back? You should have just stayed wherever you were.
Yeah, in fact, somebody on the Twitch channel said, what about when a dude's throwing no-hitter and an announcer says something and the next pitch gets blasted? It doesn't. To me, I just think that's silly. I mean, okay, so announcer says it on TV. Pretty sure the pitcher is not listening to the announcer on TV while he's on the mound.
You don't know
that. Or the hitters. Oh, you think he's got the little earbud? He's waiting to hear him say, Apo Taco! Or some garbage like that, really?
When Steph Curry was hitting all the free throws, you think they didn't give that stat every single time?
Yep.
Every single time. This is X number in a row. Finally, when he missed one, of course there's going to be that one time.
Yeah, Justin Tucker's missed extra point versus Saints last year. 100% announcer's fault. Yeah, exactly. But the no-hitter thing doesn't bother me, because frankly, Friday night, I go home, I'm watching TV tonight, and I look down on SportsCenter and see so-and-so has a no-hitter through 7 innings. I'll flip over and watch. Well, somebody had to tell me that. Otherwise, I'm not going to watch Red Sox, Twins, or whomever. I don't care. It's one of 162 between two teams I don't care about. So if you want to get me interested, you got to let me know it's a no-hitter. So, you know, what's the big deal?
On Vegas vacation, Cousin Eddie, he was bad luck.
It's true.
That was bad luck.
When they're betting on rock, paper, scissor, that part's great.
I think there are some people who... I don't think that luck is nearly as bad or as good as we make it out to be. We all have bad luck playing cards. We all have good luck playing cards. We tend to forget the times where I had ace 10 and the guy shoved all in and I called him and he had ace king and the flop came 10-10 deuce. We don't talk about that.
Those are easy to forget.
Because that happened when I was in Vegas. It's like the dude had been going on all in every hand. It was small blind versus big blind. And I'm just like, okay, I think it's going to be king queen again. I think I'm actually ahead and I've got him doubled in chips. So what the hell? And he turns over the ace king. And I'm like, oh, F that. And then the 10s come out. We don't talk about those. We talk about the big beats we take. And that's, I think that's with gambling. That's with life. I was unlucky here. And we all talk about how unlucky we were. We tend to forget the times we're lucky. And it all evens out in the end. And I know there's some people who are just have such a negative view on life that they think everything's bad luck and that everything goes wrong and the world is out to get them. And that's all they ever talk about. But, you know, we also should talk about the times when, you know what, shouldn't have won that hand. But it worked out.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten where I don't apologize for stuff like that, because nobody ever apologizes to me when it goes the other way.
It just gets silent. What does it feel like right whenever the hand's over and you have to walk off? That's the most awkward 5 seconds, right? 10 seconds. If someone sticks out a hand, you're like, man, I don't even feel like shaking hand. I just want to walk out of here.
Yeah, I've gotten better about that. And part of it was this last one. Yeah, I had so much fun playing that I hated getting knocked out. But then when they They send you a person to take you to the cash cage. Suddenly you feel okay. It's like, this isn't so bad.
Right this way, Mr. Fowler. Exactly. We didn't even know you were still alive and you came in cash.
Exactly. I went from being dead to cashing. So, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN. 97.5.
Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.